It is extremely difficult when things are going on like they are right now. I never want to preach from the flesh. It takes a lot of prayer because your mind goes in a lot of different directions. And pray for us today. Isaiah 37, read the first four verses. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered him with himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, so these messengers are speaking to Isaiah, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God and reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. What we have here, you can also read in 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. It's really word for word with what we've just read here. And of course, it takes place at a time of great crisis for the southern kingdom of Judah. It takes place during the reign of Judah's 13th king, Hezekiah. The account begins with Hezekiah in the house of the Lord. No doubt he's seeking the Lord in prayer. From verse 2, we can gather that the Lord instructed him to send a message to Isaiah. That message is recorded in verses 3 and 4. And from the last part of verse 4, we see that part of Hezekiah's message, that part of Hezekiah's message was request for prayer from Isaiah. He said, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. In verse 5, the message is delivered to Isaiah by Hezekiah's servants. We want to consider the thought of the message. We want to center the thought of the message upon what is recorded in verses 3 and 4. In verse 3, you have a description of the dire straits of Judah. It says, this is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. That speaks of the danger of the hour that they were in. For the children are come to the birth. That shows the seriousness and the urgency of the hour. And there is not strength to bring forth. And that speaks of the pitiful overall condition of the people. So in this, we see that God, the Holy Spirit, sets before us an image. It is an image of a woman about to deliver child. But there's a problem. Her strength has been exhausted, and she's unable to do what is going to be required of her in order to deliver the child. It is a picture of spiritual exhaustion and depletion of the people of God. And what we read here is not only a picture of Hezekiah's day, but of course it's a very accurate portrayal of our day as well, and God's people. And in the last part of verse 4, there's that request, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. In the context, he is saying there are those who have not yet fallen into the hands of the Assyrians, There are those who have not yet been subdued by the enemy forces. And Hezekiah is requesting Isaiah, a spiritual man, pray for the remnant. Pray for the remnant. And that's our subject this morning. Pray for the remnant. A remnant, of course, is a small portion of the whole. And we are making, our point is that this is a picture of God's people. So the first thing we want to do is look at the setting or the circumstances of our text. Prior to Hezekiah's reign was his father Ahaz. Ahaz reigned for 16 years. We're told in 2 Kings 16, verse 2, concerning Ahaz, that he did not which was right in the sight of the Lord. The overall character of his reign is described there in 2 Kings 16, verses 3 through 4. And you will see that in the course of 16 years, there was a great spiritual decline in Judah. They were moving further and further from God. They were abandoning the worship of God. God's people were being brought more and more into conformity with the ungodly nations around them. We see that he had cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And by the time you get to the end of his reign, Judah, of course, was in a very advanced stage of sin. And these were the conditions when Hezekiah began to reign. And we read in 2 Kings 18 and verse 1 that Hezekiah began his reign in the third year of Hoshea. Now, Hoshea was the last king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And from 2 Kings 18, the first eight verses or so, we see that Hezekiah began to lead a reformation in Judah. And though the reformation was spiritual in nature, the hearts and lives of the people, for the most part, remained away from God. So in the fourth year of Hezekiah's reign, the northern kingdom, who had for hundreds of years embraced idolatry and immorality and all kinds of sins, they fall. The northern kingdom falls to Assyria. This is in the fourth year of Hezekiah's reign. Sennacherib, who would follow Shalmaneser as king of Assyria, in the 14th year, so you're looking 10 years later, in the 14th year of Hezekiah, Sennacherib begins to attack the fortified cities of the southern kingdom. And one by one, they begin to fall. And he gets to Jerusalem, and instead of attacking, he seeks to intimidate them by threat. And the threat is, we are going to destroy you. We're going to destroy Judah. And there's really nothing you can do to stop us. Nobody's going to help you. You're not going to be able to find help in Egypt nor any other nation. And then he went on to say, not even your God can save you from us. And this instilled great fear in the people. So it was a time of great fear. It was a time when dread and horror had seized the hearts of God's people. And we read in 2 Kings 19 that when Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes, covered him with sackcloth and ashes, and went into the house of the Lord. And that's what we find here in our text. And Hezekiah would send messengers to Isaiah to inform him of the situation. In verse 3, where they were told to tell Isaiah, this is a day of trouble. This is a day of problems and difficulty. This is a day of many concerns and distress. It's a day of rebuke. In other words, we're living under the threat of an enemy. And it's days of blasphemy, profanity, and irreverence. So basically what Hezekiah is telling Isaiah is the enemy is at the door. And doom is on the horizon. A crisis is at hand. But that really wasn't the real problem. The real problem comes to us through this image of our text. Again, four. Here's the reason for the trouble. The children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. Now, we've preached on that image in the past, but the purpose of the expression is to stress the condition of God's people in this particular time of crisis. It is a proverbial expression, and it paints a picture of a people, again, God's people, void of strength to do what was required. This expectant mother should have been prepared for this hour, but there is not strength to bring forth. This is a very dangerous predicament that could have dire consequences. The children are come to the birth. It was a very consequential time, but there's a very serious problem. There is not strength to bring forth. The expectant mother had looked forward to this day when she would deliver her child. But when the time came, there was a problem. She was too drained. She was too fatigued to meet the need of the hour. Again, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. She is in a condition in which she could not meet the need of the hour. So this expectant mother, again, she knows this time is coming. She should have been prepared to deliver. And she should have been in a state of health to deliver. But there's not strength to bring forth. This expectant mother does not have what it takes to endure the travail of birth. Now, Bible days are much different than our days. And this would put both mother and baby in very grave danger. So this is a critical situation. This is an alarming situation. This is a desperate situation. No doubt it is a time of great uneasiness. A time of apprehension and anxiety and stress. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. But that which was most fearful, that which was most dismal and distressing, was not Assyria, was not the threats of Assyria. But the biggest problem was this: there is not strength to bring forth. The enemy of God's people had risen up. And the most fearful and distressing and alarming matter was God's people did not have the strength to meet the need of the hour. That is the biggest problem here. Not Assyria, but the condition of God's people. Judah, like the northern kingdom, had been greatly blessed of God. But through the years, they had taken the blessings of God for granted. They had ignored the prophets of God. They had not taken the word of God seriously. And through the years, they moved further and further away from God. more and more dismissing him from their thoughts and their lives, more and more putting things in the place of God and putting more esteem upon fleshly matters than the matters of God. And now, the strength to endure a crisis was not. Which only adds to the crisis. Again, the main issue, the main problem, was not Assyria, but there is not strength to bring forth. This didn't happen overnight. It happened through a process of time. The reason for this condition, if you turn over to Isaiah chapter 5, the reason for the condition is summed up in Isaiah chapter 5. In verse 8, we read of those that joined house to house, that lay field to field. There was a spirit of selfishness for many, many decades. There was this fixation. There was this obsession and addiction to self. The result was covetousness, materialism, and worldliness. And what you see there in verse 8 is a picture of a greedy, indulgent, possessive people, influenced and governed and driven and shaped by the here and now. And the result, in a process of time, there is not strength enough, there is not strength to bring forth. In verses 11 and 12, we have a picture of pleasure mania, self-indulgence. They rise up early in the morning that they may follow strong drink. They regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. It was a time of, through the years, they more and more forgot God. They became more and more spellbound and addicted to life. Early in the morning until night, again, there was no self-control. No thought of God. They lived oblivious to God. They lived as if there was no God. They dismissed God from their lives. They had no room for God in their lives. They were ignorant of God. And this led to, there is no strength to bring forth. Verse 13, we read that they are gone into captivity. The people through the years became mired and entangled and imprisoned by the ways and the philosophies and the attitudes and the values and the priorities and the pursuits of the world. And they lived lives ignorant of God. And you come to Isaiah 37 and they have no strength to meet the crisis of the hour. Verse 18 of Isaiah 5, you have a picture of a people attached to sin. A people deeply involved in sin. A people who expended their energy in sin. Defiant sinfulness. And the result through the years was there is not strength to bring forth. Notice verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Their lives were upside down. Everything was backwards. The lives of God's people were backwards. They were doing things in the wrong order. And eventually they came to this point where there is no strength to meet the crisis. You see in verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. They reject God. They have no place for God in their lives and they think that they are wise. They think they are advanced in their thinking. And then you come to this hour of crisis and the result is there is no strength. There is no strength. And Hezekiah says to Isaiah, pray for the remnant. This is the condition of God's people for the most part. But there is a remnant that has not fallen into these things. And he is saying to Isaiah, pray. Pray for the remnant. So let's make some application. We, like Judah, find ourselves in a day of trouble, a day of rebuke and blasphemy. Just like this expectant mother, she knew her delivery date was coming. But when the day came, she wasn't ready. God's people have known. They've been told. A day is coming. A day that you will not be ready for unless you live right. A day when the forces of hell rise up. That's what happened here in Judah. Assyria had risen up. But just like then, ours is a time that really we face a greater enemy, a more powerful, a more hateful, a more bold, a more relentless enemy than the nation of Assyria in the days of Hezekiah. It is an enemy that marches through the land. They've been doing it for decades, firing their missiles of anti-God philosophies, anti-God fantasies and ideas, laying the mines and setting the traps of humanism and secularism and pluralism and materialism, political correctness, in an attempt to bring an entire nation under the dominance of satanic influence. That's where we are. Ours is a time when immorality, abomination, are applauded and exalted, and biblical standards are ridiculed, mocked, and hated. And in Judah, the king of Assyria was promoted as some great one, 2 Kings 18:28, and Hezekiah was presented as a fool and as one who was out of touch with reality. And so it is today. And there was a call to be in agreement with the king of Assyria or else, 2 Kings 18:31. And God's people for decades have been scared to death not to be in agreement with the forces of hell, because they don't want to be considered as some kind of fool. And here you are today. There is not strength to bring forth. And we see this today, it's on a much larger scale than what we read of here in Hezekiah's day. And it's far more wicked. And we're dealing with a far more powerful enemy than Assyria. You've been told most of your life that serious problems are coming. And God's people, for the most part, they don't care. They're more caught up with recreation. They're more caught up with careers. And they teach their children that church is not important. Recreation is more important. Worldly activities are more important. Those individuals, whoever you are, you know who you are. Those individuals are not ready. And they won't be ready. Those individuals are a bigger part of the problem than Assyria here in our text. So what they had here was an 11th hour situation. And that's where we are. And there is not strength to bring forth. And here we are today. For decades, many of God's people, not all, there's a remnant. Many of God's people have not wanted their comfort disturbed. They want a religion that will cost them nothing. They don't want their self-esteem hurt. They want to stay in tune with the world. We'll come to church every now and then on a Sunday, maybe every now and then on a Wednesday. But we want to stay in tune with the world. We don't want to get out of tune with the world. We certainly don't want our children to get out of tune with the world. We want them to fit in. If that's you, you're part of the problem. You say, well, I didn't come here to hear that. Well, you're here and you're hearing it. They exhaust their energy in worldly matters, busy themselves in worldly pursuits, put more esteem on worldly matters than God, and they do not have strength to bear. They have allowed the allurements of the world to dull their spiritual taste for the bread of life. Why is it that some of God's people choose recreation over the house of God? It's simple. This is not rocket science. That's what they have a taste for. They have more of a taste for the things of the world than they do God. And you do that long enough, you have no strength left. You've exhausted all your strength in the wrong matters. And they find spiritual things to be dull. They raise their children with recreation and entertainment, and children find church to be dull. So they want the church to become more entertaining. In other words, we want to live in the world and we want the church to become the world. That's their thinking. And they're very content with a mere form of godliness. In fact, many today don't even bother with the form of godliness. Just a mere shadow of a relationship with God. And they consider the worship and service of God as a sideline. If we can fit it into our schedule, we'll be there. You can depend on us if we can fit it in, rather than a life commitment to the Lord. The result, there is not strength to bring forth. Sadly, the lives of God's people, with the exception, I'm not putting everybody in that group, with the exception of a very small remnant, I believe the remnant gets smaller every day. I believe the remnant is pretty small, and I believe it's probably smaller than I even think. But with the exception of a very small remnant, God's people are more characterized by unbelief than faith. With the exception of this remnant, more characterized by worry than assurance. More characterized by frustration than peace. More characterized by discouragement and misery than joy. And more characterized by doubt than conviction. And no doubt more swayed by the world than thus saith the Lord. And with the exception of a small remnant, They are more influenced and impacted by the world's ways than God's ways. Their hearts have been stolen, and they have fallen victim to the traps of the flesh, the world, and Satan. Their spiritual interest and enthusiasm and conviction is all gone. It has been consumed. And they are more invested in the world than the Lord. This is God's people, with the exception of a small remnant. Their priorities are in the world. They are more dictated by the world than God. They are consumed with worldly mindedness. They become cold, very proud, get bitter very easily. As a result, they come to this point. The children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. But not all. Not all have been subdued by the enemy. We have a remnant. We have a remnant here. Not all who are members of Home Baptist Church are part of this remnant. Not all who are here are part of this remnant that I'm talking about. They are part of there is not strength to bring forth. But not all have been subdued by the enemy. Those who make up the remnant, the spiritual, they're to pray for the remnant. That's what Hezekiah is requesting. Pray for the remnant. Oh, we spend a lot of time praying for the backslidden. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. But pray for the remnant. Pray for the remnant. Pray for those that are left. So here we are. Just like with Judah, they're in a time of great urgency. The enemy is on a furious rampage. And God's people, with the exception of a very small remnant, sadly and tragically have filled their lives with that which is spiritually disabling. And now they're like the expectant mother in our text. There is not strength to bring forth. The hour is upon us. It's been upon us for a long time. And there is not strength to bring forth. And God's people, again, with the exception of a very small remnant, do not have the strength, do not have the vigor, do not have the spiritual health to meet the situation. That's true of the majority. The very people of God, the ones who should have been prepared for the hour, are not in a state of health to do what is required. Therefore, they are part of the problem. What a fearful and distressful image. For the children are come forth to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. This expectant mother in our text was unable to endure the pangs of childbirth. And God's people, again, with the exception of a very small remnant, cannot, will not endure what is upon us and what is coming. The expectant mother in our text found herself in a condition that could not meet the hour that was upon her. but not all, have been subdued by the enemy. Pray for the remnant. Pray for the remnant. This all ought to be a warning. The danger is real. The danger is that we become the expectant mother of our text. The danger, the real danger for God's people, is not what's going on all around us. It's that we become the expectant mother of our text. That when the hour of crisis comes, we're not in a condition to meet the need. If we are not to become the people pictured by this expectant mother, you say, I don't want to become that expectant mother. Well, you must avoid all that would zap your spiritual strength. You got to avoid that. We must be a people. If we're not going to become the expectant mother, we must be a people humbled before God. We must be a people that our hearts are warm and tender. What does that mean? It means that we are a people that are responsive to the voice and the movements of God. People that's fascinated with God. A people enthralled with God, absorbed with God. A people submissive to God. A people that acknowledges God. You ignore God through your everyday life. You put other things ahead of God. You are coming to a day when you will not be able to bring forth. That's the natural result. We need to be a people filled with thanksgiving, filled with praise, filled with worship. A people who move toward God. A people who are clinging to God, seeking to glorify God, identifiable with God, forsaking and turning and fleeing from sin. A people aroused and stirred by God. A people who live in the realization God is worthy of all. He is worthy of my life. He is worthy. A people who cannot love Him enough. This is how we avoid becoming the expectant mother. A people who cannot do enough in His service. People with a right attitude toward God's day. Sunday, the Lord's day, we're going to be in the house of God. And we're going to teach and we're going to raise our children to be in the house of God. As long as they're under our roof. Don't train your children to put recreation ahead of God and then wonder what went wrong when they're not in church. Don't be so foolish. Need to be people to have a right attitude toward God's book. God's people. For not to become this expectant woman, you have to be able to rise above the difficulties of your life. You have to be able to rise above the problems and the storms and the temptations, because those things are real. You have to be able to rise above the adversities and the sorrows and the disappointments. Well, I don't go to church because I'm so disappointed. Get over the disappointment. Rise above the disappointment. God has never disappointed you. You've got to rise above the discouragements and the obstacles and the giants and the irreverence and the defiance of our day. You got to rise above those that refer to themselves as God's people. And if you don't, you will come to there is not strength enough, or there is not strength to bring forth. You become this expectant mother. If we are not to become the people pictured by this expectant woman, our thoughts, our vision, our lives cannot be defined by the spiritual prison cells of the world. The chains of the world hold us down spiritually and inflict damage to our souls, keeping us from ascending spiritually and enjoying God. And eventually you come to, there is not strength to bring forth. There are God's people. They have lived most of their spiritual life in the prison camps of the world. They live under the tyranny and the oppression, the bondage, and in the chains and shackles of an enemy power. And their lives are marked by defeat. You look at some children of God, their entire spiritual life is marked by defeat. They would have you to believe it's everyone else's fault. Their lives are marked by turmoil spiritually. Their lives are marked by spiritual waste and weariness, confusion, restlessness, hopelessness, and joylessness. And they are the expectant mother of our text. A crisis is upon them, and they do not have what it takes to bring forth. We must not become the people pictured by this expectant woman. Pray for the remnant. Pray that they would not become this expectant woman. We must be a people. There is a remnant. Some of them are here today. A people aligned with God. A people with resolve for God. A people that whose purpose in life is the Lord. Whose object in life is the Lord. Whose aim in life is the Lord. Whose passion in life is the Lord. Pray for those that God would keep them strong. We must not become the expectant woman of our text. For the children are come to the birth. The hour has arrived. Folks, the hour has arrived. God's people need to be right. And how sad when there is not strength to bring forth. Oh, that we would be a people of prayer. Those who have become the expectant woman, you're in bad shape if you're depending on them for prayer. They're not in a condition to pray. You need to depend on the prayers of the remnant. And we need to be a people of prayer praying for the remnant. Again, I've said it many times. One of the most dangerous things is to misidentify the enemy and spend all your energy and time fighting the wrong enemy. We see that happening today in our streets. I don't want to go there. Oh, that we'd be a people of peace. Talking about the inward peace of the Lord. People of joy and assurance, praise and thankfulness. A people with the strength to be what we ought to be. Difficult days are upon us. They have been for a long time. The days are going to get worse. The Bible teaches it. You know, you hear, and I know, they're trying to encourage people. We're going to come out of this. We're Americans. We'll come out of this. No. Things will get worse and worse and worse. Because that's God's plan. But that's not what is to be our main concern. Our main concern is to be, am I in a spiritual condition to be what I need to be in the hour of crisis? Am I in that condition right now? Pray for those who are. Pray for the remnant. Pray for the remnant. They're not perfect. They have their faults. Far from perfect. But you ought to thank God for them. Thank God for the remnant. Pray for them. Those that make up the remnant. Pray for those others who make up the remnant. God would keep them strong. That they would not become the expectant mother of our text. We need to be praying. Yes, we need to pray for a lot of things. We need to pray for God's people that they would be able to be what they ought to be. And the only way that'll happen is to continually be what you need to be. If you observe through your years as a child of God, this is not a steadfast rule, but it's usually so. Those who go away, those who become this expectant mother, usually do not rise above it. There are exceptions. God can work wonderful miracles. But for the most part, they don't usually rise above that condition. It's a very dangerous thing to become this expectant mother. It's dangerous. It's dangerous for your family. If a dad becomes this expectant mother, that family is in terrible danger. Or if a mom puts children in danger, puts grandchildren in danger, puts churches in danger, puts all kinds of people in danger. Again, I said, and perhaps if the Lord leads, one of these days we'll preach upon it. I've made a lot of observations during this pandemic. And I'm not saying it's not real. But oh, if God's people were that concerned about catching spiritual disease as they are COVID. If God's people would take the time to take all the precautions against spiritual disease as they do against COVID, we'd be a lot better off. If God's people were as scared of spiritual diseases as they are COVID, there's a lot of lessons to be learned through this whole thing. And like most crises, as we preached a few weeks ago, we have a tendency to waste them. What I see happening, you would think, you would hope, but if you know human nature, you know better, that God's people as a whole would come out stronger from this. That's not the case, and it won't be the case. With the exception of the remnant, bad habits have been established during the pandemic, and they will continue. Worship has been damaged. Worship is already in a sad enough state, and now it's going to even be in a sadder state. The exception of a remnant. There is a remnant. There's always that remnant. God help us to be a part of that remnant. Again, pray. Pray for the remnant. God, keep them faithful. Lord, keep them faithful. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father.